Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Seventeen here on the bench, Lance Zierlein with Eric Layden as co-hosts for the rest of the way. And Dell joining us right now is former Texas City alum and general manager now of the Indianapolis Colts, and that would be Chris Ballard. What's up, Chris?
I just want to ask Eric one thing. When are they bringing back the Brink?
Dude, from your mouth to God's ears, that was the show that got away too early for me. I mean, I've done a lot of them, but that was one I felt like we needed a couple more seasons of that. That was really fun to shoot.
I'm still in depression that show's not on the air, not on TV anymore.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I mean, unfortunately, you and probably only about 10 other people, otherwise we might still be on the air.
My wife tells me all the time, because I'll go back and watch it, and she says, "Are you the only person that watched this?" I said, "No, Lance watched it too." I said, "We had two of us."
Well, just keep watching it on reruns. Every time you do, I get a check in the mail for about 3 cents. So eventually that'll add up.
Where are there on HBO Go? Where are we watching reruns?
We got Xfinity here. So
you can see it on demand.
So you just go back and rewatch them on HBO.
Is that where you watch them, Eric? That's the only place I know to watch them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're called reruns anymore, Lance. I think it's just everything's on demand. You're not sitting around waiting for you still pull the paper out, open it up to the TV guide.
No, I don't pull the paper out. Huh?
Lance, you probably do get a TV guide still, don't you?
No, I don't even watch. I don't watch network TV anymore. I only watch, cable stuff and then sports stuff on network. That's just how I am now. You had time to watch. So, Chris, I told Eric, he didn't know you were a theater, what, major at Wisconsin?
When I first started, it only lasted a semester.
Oh, imagine that. You were grinding.
too many voice and movement classes for you.
It was too hard? Was it too hard, Chris?
That is a hard craft to learn, and doing it when you're trying to play football is almost downright impossible.
Yeah, so you went there. So people who don't know, you were at Texas City. You're a quarterback at Texas City. You're a track guy. Did you play any other sports beside football and run track?
No, that was it. I mean, I thought I could play baseball, but that ended when I got in high school, and then I wasn't good enough to play basketball. So those were the only two I did.
But you know, I think it's interesting because you're from the old school. Like, we're about the same age. I believe in my sons playing as many sports as they want to play. I think it's good for them. You think the same thing. I mean, in this world of specialized sports, your kid, who's a pretty good athlete, plays all of them.
They do them all. And much to the dissatisfaction sometimes of their coaches. But like I told Cole, he's my 14-year-old. I said, look, if you're good enough, they'll play you. And if you're not good enough, they won't. But he goes, well, Dad, I'm behind. I said, go back to that first statement. If you're good enough, they'll play you. If you're not, they won't. I said, we'll know if you're good enough in this sport or not.
That's true. That's exactly how it works. So let me ask you this. When you're looking at this has come up a lot. And you and I know your background and your history and all of it. None of us at the age of, I shouldn't say none of us, many of us at the age of 18, 19, 20, 21, not the most mature people. You've told a story that, hey, you had your own issues at Wisconsin. And so when you are, when you look at players and when you've dealt with players, and you were at Texas A&I for a while. Well, no, Kingsville. Wait, was it A&I or Kingsville?
It was Kingsville when I went there, but Texas A&I is what it was for all that time.
Yeah, okay. So you recognize there are going to be some guys who are immature. How do you get – because a lot of fans have been upset that the Texans have had this – you know, they want to make sure they get the right kind of guys in here and the right character. And I've always tried to explain there's a difference between a guy who's kind of a turd and a guy who's immature. How do you differentiate that, and how important is that?
Look, for us, it's really important, and it's a hard balance. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we're judged on our wins and losses, and that's just the facts of what we do. But saying that, you got to be very careful about who you add into the locker room. I tell our guys all the time, we're telling our locker room what we stand for with who we bring in. So if you bring a guy that's lazy and doesn't have football character and doesn't love to play, and you allow them to get away with it, then it's gonna permeate through the locker room. And it's the same thing off the field. When you bring a young man that's had problems in and he continues to have problems, you're telling your locker room and your fan base, this is what we'll stand for. So it's a balance, and you got to be careful, and you just got to know that they are young kids and they do make mistakes, and you got to decipher which ones you're willing to help them get over and move past and the ones you're not.
Chris, speaking of kids, you drafted one out of my alma mater, Marvell Tell. What'd you see in him? I mean, I watched him for 4 years play, and I didn't necessarily think he was always in the right spot. In position wise,
I'm gonna give you just like I did with Lance, LDK, and now you're gonna be EDK.
You know what that means? Eric don't know.
Eric don't know.
And
by the way, that's why I'm asking you. And by the way, that's why I'm asking you, because surely you know better than I.
Does he?
I'm watching from a fan.
Does he? He might miss too.
Our scouts did a really good job going in there and kind of deciphering through. I'd say Martell had a pretty average senior season compared to what we thought his talent level was. I remember being in there the year before, his junior year, and they were talking about him coming out, and they were having a one-on-one drill, and he was playing press coverage. And I remember sitting in the meeting and said, look, we need to work this kid out as a corner. And then, Matt Turpitting was another scout that had gone in there and kind of said the same thing. So we sent our coach out to work him out as a corner, and, we thought he had length. He was a good athlete. He just wasn't quite strong enough for what we wanted at safety, but at corner it matched up pretty good. So we'll see. I mean, it's early, but the returns, the early returns have been really good. But we'll see. We got a long way to go between now and the start of the season.
Sure. And listen, I mean, what I noticed from SC, and this is, I'd be interested to hear from you. There's certain programs, and SC is one of those right now, that I feel like guys do not get anywhere close to their potential, where I know there are programs out there where there are guys that might even reach their max potential. I don't know if that's in Alabama. Do you know, I mean, how important is that to know what program they're coming from and it versus other programs where you can squeeze more out of them, or if they've gotten all that they can from them?
No, that's a good point. And you look at that. So let me tell you what's happening today is that, kids are getting recruited at such a young age. I mean, you're talking 9th, 10th grade, where I don't think they're fully developed yet. And then you got the, then you have the recruiting services out there that are sticking, 4 or 5 stars on guys. Well, you don't know. I mean, maybe with the rare talent as sophomores, but, really till they get into their junior and senior years in high school, and then as they develop in college, there are certain programs that I think really do a good job developing their players, and most of the time when they're Division I players, they're pretty close to what I mean. They're going to get better from a technique standpoint. But if you're in one of the Power 5 conference schools, in terms of nutrition and weightlifting and any kind of other things that you can think of in terms of development, they're pretty close to their ceilings, and you're kind of getting what you're getting. Can we squeeze a little more out of them every once in a while? Yeah, sometimes with the less distractions in terms of no school, all they're worried about football. Yeah, they're going to get better. But most of the time, these, I'd say the Power Five conferences do a great job of developing players. And then you take on the flip side, when you get them from a smaller school. I mean, look, I coached at a smaller school, and we didn't have the resources that they did. They do have more upside, and there's a lot more juice to be squeezed out because of they haven't had the same type of resources that the bigger schools have had.
I want to ask you about, you know, I obviously do a lot of draft stuff and I study this stuff, and one of the things I learned from you a long time ago was, and it's become maybe even more prevalent now after you worked with Dorsey, is the height, weight, speed, and the traits, right? People hear traits a lot. But if you have the ability, historically, the guys who are the big, fast, long, strong guys, those are the ones who are the all-time greats. And you do have some outliers, but they're called outliers for a reason. One of the things that I think is good for Houston Texans fans in that regard is that Brian Gain comes from the Bill Parcells school of traits and height, weight, speed, and you know him a little bit. Is that something that you find? Certainly, it's one thing I've seen over the last 2 years is the Texans are drafting for speed. That's become very, very obvious. I don't know if you can comment or want to comment on that, and you can talk about, you know, how that came to be with you really coveting certain types of physical qualities.
Now, I mean, look, it's first thing is I think a lot of Brian, known him a long time from being on the road, and between, you know, Brian and Billy, you got two guys. I think it's imperative that your head coach and GM are on the same page. And I don't think there's any question about that's happening in Houston, with both of them. And then from a height, I mean, look, I tell our guys all the time, we're going to miss. Let's miss on a guy that's big and fast. And, you know, are there exceptions? Absolutely there are. And they're going to play in the league, and we're going to have a couple of them. But we don't want a team full of exceptions. We want to take, you know, the height, weight, and speed and the measurables that we deem necessary for each position. And we want to err on the side of what history's told us. And, you know, usually the bigger, faster guys are the ones that, you know, end up being players in the league. The things that are hard to measure, you know, their passion for the game, their instincts, those are things that you can't measure, that we've got to be, you know, we want to be the best in the league at that. Those are the separators, I really believe, that when you're taking the right, you know, height, weight, and speed players that also have passion and also have instincts and competitive toughness, if you can get those right, then you got a chance to have a pretty good team. But, you know, Brian comes from the same, you know, school of thought. You know, that I was kind of raised in this profession in, and, you know, unfortunately for us, we're all in the same division. I mean, we talk, you know, all of a sudden the AFC South has gone from a division where people, you know, were looking to line up and play them every week to now where it's, you know, all four teams are very capable of making deep runs in the playoffs.
One of the things that concerns me, Chris, is it just seems like I'm seeing more and more, and I think social media is a big part of this, and you can say youth football or the AAU culture or 7-on-7, whatever, but it seems almost like social media has given guys this awareness of self that is more brand related than it is about, like, I guess for lack of a better phrase, you're starting to see a division of the guys who are about me, 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 and you're seeing, I guess maybe it's getting harder to determine who the guys who love football are, who are in it for the football, and which of the guys are in it for the things that come with football. Is there a difference between the two? You can still be a great football player and love the spotlight. I mean, J.J. Watt loves the spotlight. I would say he loves football. Do you think social media, like, how do you parse that?
Well, I'm not a big fan of social media. I mean, you know, all it does is get your dopamine levels higher, you know, when you look at it, make you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. or terrible about yourself. But saying that, look, finding guys that are good teammates, that have a humble spirit about them. I mean, you know, one of the things we've really dug into, you know, guys that want to be coached and want to get better, they've got a sense of humbleness about them, and they always defer to the team. That's the art. To me, that's the real art of scouting. You know, being able to decipher between the guys that, you know, play because they love the recognition, which, you know, I guess, you know, most of them do, but also on the flip side of that, that are really good teammates that want to get better, that want to grow, that want to be part of a winning, you know, a winning team. You got to be willing to give up some of yourself and some of your stats to be able to do that. And being able to find out that information is very difficult to do.
Yeah, but Chris, I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of that comes from you and the guys from the top down. I mean, I know in my business, you know, producers and the star can set the tone on a set. And I have no doubt that you do that. And you talked a little bit about the relationship between a GM and a head coach and ownership. Why Indy? I mean, you had options. You know, why Indy? I guess, yeah, why Indy?
Yeah, well, you know, somebody asked me that the other day. We, you know, when we were in, I've been fortunate because I've really only, since college, I've been in Kingsville. I worked for the Bears for 12 seasons. I worked for Kansas City for 4. And then, you know, being here in Indy now, this going on year number 3. So I haven't had a lot of job movement in my career. And that's just kind of who I am. And with, you know, I got 5 children and wanted to keep them halfway stable, not in some nomadic lifestyle, and wanting to stay in the Midwest and then getting the right fit organizationally was important. I mean, I know there's only 32 of these jobs, but look, at the end of the day, you got to have an owner that stands for what you stand for and philosophically, and then has the patience to do it. And, you know, I thought it was a good match here, you know, not only from a city standpoint, but from an organizational philosophy standpoint of what we wanted to get done.
I know you're a voracious reader. What is a book that you'd recommend? Because you like reading about, you know, organization building and things like that. What's a book you'd recommend right now to people who are listening?
Well, I do read a bunch. So my favorite book is Creativity, Inc. You know, it's about Pixar and how they make their movies and how they chop them apart. Just their process of how they get to their final result is just, to me, is it just mirrors what we do. To be able to for people to understand when you get in any line of work, whether it's business, you know, whether it's sports, to get better, you've got to be able to be critiqued. And to not take that personally, to separate and understand that we're not attacking, you're not getting attacked personally, they're attacking your ideas. And we take it into the draft room where, look, we are not attacking you personally, we're attacking your thoughts and your ideas on what you think about the player. And to me, to get to the right answers, you have to ask a million hard questions about the guy that's getting evaluated. And that's not for everybody. And I always thought that Creativity Inc. really mirrored what we did, probably to a greater extent. I couldn't imagine Eric going, making a movie and then chopping it apart over a year period, bringing people that had nothing to do with it being made, and then, you know, changing the plot, changing the main character, changing the ending. That's a hit to the ego. But to get to the best result, it requires that type of scrutiny.
Yeah. I mean, I think that goes to a little bit of what you said earlier about social media. I think you also have to shut down listening to the people that aren't helping the cause, you know, listen to the right people. And I, for you, for me alike, I mean, I can read reviews from some, you know, kid in his basement eating Cheetos and take it personally and it doesn't matter, as opposed to taking criticism, a fantastic director or actor pulls me aside and has a note or a thought, you know, for you, you've got to, you know, you just have to, I think, pick and choose who you listen to, because the ego is fragile and we put so much work into what we do that, you know, it is hard to hear, but you're right. I mean, you have to hear that it's the idea, you know, it's not you personally, but still that's not fun to hear either. You know, unless you know you're doing it from somebody you respect.
No, it's not. Look, you know, so any kind of critical feedback is not—it's not easy. But let me tell you this: I learned pretty quickly in this profession that, you know, you want to take critical feedback from those who know, mm-hmm. not from those who don't know. So
LDK. LDK.
No, Lance knows.
LDK.
LK.
LDK.
LK.
LDK.
You ought to see the t-shirts. We wear them around the office.
No, they don't. This is a lie.
Can you send me one
of those? It's on the text string. If somebody, if you agree with disagree with somebody, you just put their first initial and then DK. That's all you do.
I feel like it's primarily LDK, though. I feel like the text chain, if we went back, it'd be a lot of LDK.
Yeah, these text bullies try to do that. Speaking of that, I want to bring up, I know some of the guys who work in your building, and the primary guy being you, obviously.
I wonder where all those freaking leaks came from.
No. You don't leak. Nothing leaks from your place, but... I know a little bit about how your process goes. Can you talk about the when you got in there, the culture you came from, maybe with Chicago and Kansas City, and how you brought that, where it can be a little contentious in your draft room, and you like it that way?
No. I love being in the draft room, and I love being in there, and I know it kills our guys sometimes because we're in there for a long time. But I love being in there. I love when the air gets a little tense. When there's a good disagreement going on where it's respectful and then you're having to prove your point, and the one great thing that I always about scouting that I, you know, you can't, eventually you got to prove it on tape, and you can be the most creative writer in the world and write all these great things down, but eventually we're going to all put the tape on and you got to prove it on tape. Now that's really one of the fun things about what we get to do. It's one of the fun parts of the job.
You still have the same fun doing it?
Absolutely.
I want to ask.
Absolutely. I could have to go get a real job. That would be
fun. It would. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Eric's happy he's doing what he, and none of us have real jobs. Hey, I want to bring this up for people who probably don't know, and I'm not sure.
You get to talk crap on the radio all day.
Oh, this is the best.
Is that not a great job?
This is the best. I don't get fired for anybody who, any predictions I have that goes sideways. Now, I also put my name on 500 draft profiles and mock drafts, and I have 100 million people come at me and dog cuss me and wish me to burn in a fire now. So it's kind of the two polar opposites now. Like, are you
wait
really?
Till they start, hey, wait till they start putting the LDK, hashtag LDK after
I don't need that. I don't need that out there. Trust me. I'm glad you're not on social media. Well, not that other people know. He's lurking. You got to see this, Eric. I'll put something on Twitter, and Chris just kills me. I'm like, how do you know where he? I'm lurking. He's got some lurker account where he keeps up with me, and I don't even know where it is.
Durant style.
Yeah,
he's just like
Kevin Durant. He's got his own burner accounts.
Chris has some burner accounts. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, this Quincy Wilson pick's a good pick. Y'all don't know what you're saying, Send. Hey, let me ask you this. A lot of people don't know this, but I know you you sought out, and you're a guy who follows other sports, and I know you follow the Rockets still. You follow the Astros. Talk about a couple summers ago when you were in Kansas City, you went and visited with the Rockets, Spurs, and Jazz, right? All three of those during a summer league? Or maybe I'm wrong on that, but didn't you visit with those teams?
Well, I spent a lot of time studying other sports. And, you know, from, you know, I mean, basketball to baseball, I'm always intrigued by, you know, player development. What are they doing that can help us? And I mean, look, and what's surprising is most people are pretty willing to share, you know, information across, you know, across sports. And it's been, I mean, we've used, I don't want to say a lot, but we've used some of what we've learned. And I think the teams that do it best, I mean, like right now, I mean, people say what they want, but Golden State, that is as well a run organization as there is in pro sports. To do what they're doing right now and to be able to have superstar players, and they have them, and get them to all play together as a team and to be willing to sacrifice stats. I mean, you know, what Klay Thompson's done, you know, sacrificing, you know, some of his stats to win. I think that just goes in directly into the character of those men on those teams. And especially if you look at Golden State, I mean, they're all good teammates. They all love to play. They play for each other. I mean, isn't that what winning organizations do and winning teams do? So, no, there's no doubt. We have spent a lot of time, and I still reach out, you know, to other sports and still try to pick the brains of people that are really good at their jobs.
Do you find that, kind of following up on that, is, You know, right now, I think the Astros, when you look at the Astros, they have this incredible core talent. And in Major League Baseball, you will have either club control for quite a while, and then you have to pay guys ungodly amounts of guaranteed money. But I think I've wrestled with, and I've really come to the conclusion, okay, you know what? You just have to be okay with the fact that at some point, every core has to break up. And it may happen with Golden State after this year is over, but you have to be okay with saying we have a very strong window for 4-5 years and be okay with that. You can't extend windows with the same teams for 10-12 years. You've always got to be moving forward, and that causes, you know, you have to have tough decisions to make. But at the same time, Chris, you've got to be okay with recognizing, hey, it's okay to have a 3-year window. It's okay to have a 4-year window, sometime even a 2-year window.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you told me the core of Golden State is going to be Seth Curry, Thompson, and Green, and they're going to get to play with those three going forward and then keep adding around them, I'm saying their window is going to be open for a while.
Well, yeah, you're right. If Klay Thompson doesn't leave too.
And I think I think when your core has high character, let's take the Spurs. How long was their
well,
window?
That was the longest I've ever seen, beside Tom Brady, and that's different.
So
core.
name the constant denominator there is the character of the men that were in that core allowed them to sustain success for a long time. Just look at the Astros, even when it was Bagwell and Biggio and Bergman, that was a heck of a run. You know, by, and it didn't get the world championship they wanted, but they won a lot of games. And, you know, something that we all followed. And I think it's really neat to watch right now with the Astros, because those are some highly competitive players that are all superstars, but all care about one another and play for one another. I'm telling you now, I love watching Houston play, and you know, credit to their front office for putting that team together.
No doubt. Well, Chris, we gotta let you run. We've already powered, and I've already got one tweet that came in that just says #LDK. I don't want to get that thing started. I don't need to get that thing started. I already deal with it enough. I already deal with it. Even when I'm right, Eric, even when I'm right on my evaluations and entire organizations miss, I still get that I don't know. I still get LDK.
You need to, Eric, you need to come out. We play, we open the season up in L.A. against the Chargers. You need to come out.
You got it, man. I will. I would absolutely love that, man. And good luck this season.
We're going to convert you.
Listen, I look great in blue. I'll tell you that right now. My eyes are blue, and so I'm. I can put that hat on real quick.
We got to get you a different shade of blue.
How about my son Snacks skipped right over? He went from being a Cardinal fan. He just skipped the Texans right over to the Colts. He's just like, right over.
Because Snacks knows what's up.
We'll see. It caused a little fight last year during the playoffs, but, you know, Snacks ended up winning that one. All right, that's going to do it with Chris Ballard.
Guys.
Thanks, Chris, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate it, Chris.
That's Chris Ballard, general manager of the Houston Texans. By the way, he grew up also,
Colts.
Even though he lived here. I'm sorry, the Colts. That was Freudian. The Indianapolis Colts GM, not the Texans. But he also grew up. He's a lot like Dell. He grew up in Houston and was a Steelers fan. If you know anything about the Steelers and Oilers, the Oilers got their asses kicked by the Steelers. You couldn't get over the hump, very much like Rockets and the Warriors. And he's just he was like a 9-year-old contrarian.
He's not like me. I didn't root.
You're a contrarian.
I didn't go. I didn't root for the Broncos.
Well, it just feels like he's got some of that contrarian, just like you. He was a Steeler fan, and now he's the Colts GM, which is another nightmare in the city of Houston. So let's take that for what it's worth. 8:45, let's break it right here. Coming back, Dell and Eric and I have to get in some of the rules of Hollywood. Dell's got some. He's very curious about some of these rules because apparently some of these rules aren't being abided by. We'll get to that here in just a second. I'm going to tell you about one right now. My rule is with Go Solutions, you've got to make sure that you get the very best rates possible when it comes to your insurance. And when I say Go Solutions, that's a holding company for TGS Insurance. And TGS Insurance, they are a company that can aggregate all of these different homeowners insurance companies, and they pre-qualify them to make sure they're the very best out there. You only know about, you know, some of the big name groups that advertise on television or radio or whatever the case may be. what you might not know is there's some other great insurance companies out there that are offering much, much lower rates because they don't have those monster advertising packages that they have to make back in premiums. That's not the case. So what happens is when you text money to 232323, you end up getting better homeowners insurance quotes than you expected. And they're saving on average $870 every single person who texts in. That's the average savings for homeowners insurance. Get the same great coverage without sacrificing price at TGS Insurance. Go to tgsinsurance.com or text money to 232323.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.